Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to thank you very much for kindly inviting me here. I'm a graduate of Concordia University. It was Christ College Irvine, and just last night I found out that Pastor and I were in school together. I didn't even know that. I don't know how I missed them. But it's great to be here. Thank you for taking the hay off the loft and putting it where the creatures can get it this morning with the children's sermon. It really fit into the message this morning. My wife and I arrived here, which is good news. I get bad news and good news this morning. Good news, I made it. Rotator cuff, and then 2 days ago I fell and got a few stitches, or equivalent to stitches, and broke a finger. And my wife said, "I know it's the devil." My son said, "No, you got to learn how to pick up your feet." See what happened? We flew in from Boston, which there are more liberals in Boston than there are people, just to let you know. So it's great to be among people who really appreciate the Word of God and take it seriously. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the importance of the Word of God, especially since this is Christ the King Sunday. And have this friend Bert from Bangor, Maine. He's a retired lobster fisherman. And one morning he woke up and his wife Martha went up to him and says, "Bert, I have a confession to make. I feel terrible, but the truth is I've been committing a very serious sin." And Bert says, "What is it, Martha?" And she said, "You know, I wake up in the morning and I go by the mirror. I stop and I look at it and I say, 'Martha, you are one beautiful woman.'" And Bert says, "Martha, that is not a sin. It's a mistake." There's a difference between mistakes and sins. And I cook a 3-minute egg for 4 minutes. It's not a sin. My wife might think so sometimes, but it's a mistake. And there are lots of mistakes that are made. Some of them are very serious. The doctrine of salvation is extremely serious. You can be wrong on everything else and right on everything else and wrong on that one, and that can cost you for eternity. The importance of the doctrine of salvation. Where I come from, so many people I know, they have this idea that at the end of time, you stand before God and he gets out these scales and he weighs out the good behavior and the bad behavior, and nothing could be further from the truth. A more accurate way of describing this is, you don't mind if I use you for an example, but let's say Pastor here is driving through the center of town at 80 miles an hour and he goes through 3 red lights and 2 stop signs, and the police chase him, and finally he pulls over and he punches the policeman in the eye and he gets hauled into court, and the judge looks at him and goes over all that he did and he said, "You're going to have to pay a fine of $500. Pastor says, "But I don't have $500. And this man next to him says, "I've got it all paid for it." And he pays the $500, and Pastor decides to walk out, and the bailiff stops him and says, "By what right are you leaving this courthouse?" And Pastor says, "Well, I'm the guy who went through 2 stop signs, 3 red lights, and I punched the policeman in the eye." No, that's what put him in the court. Didn't get him out. And the point is, of course, we're all been placed in the court, and the question is, how do we get out? Which is Jesus Christ, who paid the price. And so the Word of God is important. It's serious. This is the season of Pentecost, the last Sunday of Pentecost, which represents the birth of the Christian church. It is the 50th day. It begins in the 50th day after Easter. The color of the season is green, representing growth, spiritual growth, because I'm assuming you're all believers in Christ, you're Christians, and it's all about growth now as we grow in faith, trusting Christ. And then next week you begin with Advent, the beginning of the church year. And today is Christ the King Sunday. And Christ the King Sunday represents that he's the Lord of the cosmos. He is Jesus the King, the Messiah, and he's certainly Lord of our lives. Lord of our lives. And we grow in our faith as we learn to trust him, living our lives out, as we prepare for eternity. As you can tell by looking at me, life is short, unpredictable, and brutish at times. We all experience that, and if you haven't, don't worry, you will. And works are important. Our behavior is important, but the problem is, what is the motivation behind that? So sanctification, what we call sanctification, the other side of the coin, salvation, justification, and sanctification, one in, like in the old Annie Get Your Gun theater, like in love and marriage, you can't have one without the other, they go together. It designates the internal spiritual transformation of the believer, the holiness of his life, her life, which accompanies salvation. Or as Luther would say, being little Christ. Listen to what the scripture says for a moment. I'm hoping I can make this as easy as possible, and that when you leave here this morning, you'll be able to think about something that you've learned and be able to apply to your life. Book of Romans, St. Paul writes, and he says, being made free from sin, namely by faith in the gospel, faith in Christ, you become servants of righteousness. Now being made free from sin, Romans 6:22, you become slaves to God, namely by justification, you have the fruit of holiness and the end everlasting life. And then you read Titus chapter 3. Those believing God might be careful to maintain good works. So on one hand, you have this emphasis of faith in Christ and the importance of good works, and there's a lot of confusion about that. I know as a former evangelical, and going to those churches where the pastor's always yelling at you what you're supposed to do, rather than hearing what Jesus had done for me, this is an important issue, because I know Lutheran Christians are influenced by the radio and the television. They often get it confused and they don't know it. And it puts you on a road to thinking that, you know, God wants us to do good works, but somehow you're the one that's supposed to be doing it for meriting something from God, which is not the case at all. You know, why the confusion? There's a great deal of confusion about it. You know, Lutherans don't usually talk about a lot of good works. I had a professor, I don't know if you had Dr. Kadi, but I had him, and one of the students said, why don't Lutherans talk about good works? And he said, we don't have any. Great sense of humor. But works are very important. I mean, who tells you what's right and what's wrong in terms of works? Where does that come from? There are societies, perhaps, in history where the only thing they perceived as being wrong was forgetting to lick the plate when they're done eating you. Because if you don't get it from an absolute, what's right and what's wrong, you're going to have people making it up, and you end up with places like Auschwitz and Dachau and Stalin with 60 million people being murdered, or Mao with 70 million people being murdered, because they believed it was the right thing to do for them. You have to have a law above the law, as John Mark Montgomery would say, which is God. See, Bert was talking to his son Clarence one day. Clarence was a little boy, and they were in a grocery store line. And Bert says, Clarence, what did you learn in school today? And Clarence says, I don't know. The teacher was talking about ethics. Tell you the truth, she just went on and on and on about ethics. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I learned. He says, I still don't understand it. Ah, ethics, he said. It's an important issue, son. Let's say the cashier gives me extra change. Ethically, do I keep it or share it with your mother? Of course, it's wrong. You get that, though, when it goes back to the overpayment. Today's lesson is about the importance of good works. And while the church has done lots of wrong things in its history, and individuals as well, collectively and individually, at least Christianity emphasizes the importance of mercy and justice, and it isn't like Islam at all, where justice might be if you steal a loaf of bread because your family's hungry, they're going to cut your hand off. Justice is eye for eye and tooth for tooth, punishment equal to the crime. That's justice. It's not revenge. See, Matthew 25 is Christianity 101. It can get more complicated than this, but it never becomes more important. The first and the last question becomes, you know, who do you help? That's what you were talking about the children about. All the things we do to present Christ to the world. Who do you help? It isn't who is your neighbor, it's who will you be neighbor to? In addition, Matthew speaks about the final judgment, if you noticed. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he'll separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And it appears, according to the text, it looks like he's saying it'll be determined by who did what's right and what's wrong. Good works. You know, how did you help other people? Who did you help? But see, this is the surprise I want you to go home with today. Have you noticed the sheep are surprised? Because they didn't know they were doing anything at all. They just did it. Because you see, Christianity is not about doing. Contrary to what 90% of the churches around here might be saying, it isn't about what you're supposed to be doing, it's about being a new creature in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. It's about being, not doing. It is not you being a polywog becoming a frog. It's you being a polywog and you became a canary. An entirely different species or type. A new creature in Christ. And so the sheep say, notice this. When was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? They didn't even know they were doing it. They were simply living as Christians by faith in Christ. That's what it's about. It isn't about sticking in your thumb and pulling out a plum and saying, what a good boy am I. It's about realizing that Jesus Christ, who is all sufficient, all in all, has done everything. And that he desperately loves us and loves the world. And you have become the vehicle to share that with others. And Matthew is not saying pretend. You know, that's parrot theology. He didn't like Thomas de Kempis, as you know, imitation of Christ. He's not called us to be imitators of Christ. Thomas de Kempis, yes, he's wrong. It's about being a new creature in Christ, as Luther says, little Christ. Just being what the new creation is that you are. not pretend. And when we focus on that, and it's not easy because everything we grow up believing is so contrary to that. You know, we're told to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we're told nothing in life is free. There's no free lunch. But that's not true when it comes to salvation and God's grace. It is free. Jesus did it all. We're just asked to receive that in a passive reception. You know, as you know, you have an ear and you hear something. You didn't do anything to make that ear. God created it and you just receive it. And it's the same thing in terms of God's grace, learning to trust in Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We are a word and sacrament church. That's where we get God's grace from. Passive reception. Because the unrighteous, they make calculations on who they should and should not help, and if they should, and why not. And if they feel people are unworthy, they don't do it. The righteous simply act out because they see people in need. And I don't know how to explain it, but just it rises up within them to do it, to help people. Christians know that. It's just the right thing to do and say, and we do it. I told Pastor last night that he didn't know this, but he did something to me a week ago that really touched me, really moved me. I'm recently retired with my beautiful wife for 47 years and a handsome son and grandchildren with us today. Haven't seen them for a year and a half. But as a pastor who retired, I was moved when he told me that he pulled out an old article from 86, I believe it was, that I wrote for Lutheran Witness about the occult and how he gave that to his daughter, I believe, and it helped her in terms of understanding in a ministry. And he says, you see, your ministry is still helping people. And it brought tears to my eyes because I could see fruit that remained, that lasted. Something I did, it counted for someone and something. Because I don't want to be a person that just lives for myself. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, you see, I got to tell you, there's the good news and bad news. Good news, I came in spite of this. The bad news is the pastor said I could preach for as long as I want to. Because the good news is I didn't take my medication, so it won't be too bad. I knew better. You see, the parable of the sheep and the goats is a warning in love. It's not a prescription, but a description. The prescription is something that you must do in order to see the end result. A description is a picture of the way things are or will be. And sheep and goats are made sheep and goats by the judgment. They're not identified for what they are because of their works. The judgment reveals what has long been true. Either you're a sheep or a goat now. The judgment doesn't take place and then you become. Judgment declares what is already established and true. Because Lutherans, you see, are people who can get caught up in works righteousness. You know, we equate something, doing something that's loving to someone, and we're, oh, is that good works, and it's not good, not right? And Bonhoeffer talks about the possibility of cheapening God's grace. Perhaps that's part of the reason why. But the surprise in today's lesson speaks of the way in which we act. We act in no way of keeping score. We act as if we're surprised if anyone even noticed what we do or don't do. God alone notices. And those who keep score get their reward. And it isn't God's reward. You don't add up all the good things you did and the bad things you did. Trust in Christ. That's really what it's all about. Matthew makes it clear that there's a judgment. And when will it occur? Now. The judgment is now. When we are judged, when we do it to the least of these, and the surprise is that the judgment has come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This acting in love finds us the kingdom of God now. So I hope you'll remember that above all else, that as a new creature in Christ, our lives are not about doing things, it's about being little Christ, glorifying God by living Christ's life here, now. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We stand for prayer.